I was just reading about our geocaches.
Oh, yeah. How are they doing?
They're doing very good. We are getting consistent hits, which is nice to see.
We solved the moisture problem?
I believe we did, yeah.
Okay, good.
I haven't seen that complaint for a while. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. It would be good to do a maintenance run in the fall, though.
I think we should. Rainbow went out recently with her daughter and found one of them.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I had just been there previously to check on it, so.
Wow, there we go.
It was good.
Nice. Yeah, no, that's good. It's nice to have those, and then we can just, like, we can do maintenance checks and replenish the goodies, and it'll be good times. So, welcome back to another episode of Scouting Stuff You Should Know. You got a couple of us tonight. You've got myself, of course, Ken, and I am rejoined by Hawkeye.
Hello.
Hello. Hawkeye, of course, runs. So, in our scout group, we have two beaver colonies, and I previously had been, you know, running the, or I was the contact scouter or the section scouter. There's different terms for it, I suppose. For the Monday night group, and then I kind of wound up falling into that role for the Tuesday night group. So this year, Hawkeye very graciously took over the Tuesday night group, and they've been doing absolutely wonderfully under his guidance and leadership, so that's awesome, and that certainly reduced the stress in this household. My wife was none too happy having to share me with the scout group on quite so many nights as she was, so...
Yeah, for you this year, it would have been three if somebody had not stepped in.
Yes.
And realizing that, I knew somebody should move. And it actually worked out very well for me for work purposes. So that was good. And I really enjoy myself. It's, you have set up a great team prior to me going in there with the ringtail that we have now lost. And Rainbow, who is still there.
Yes.
So they were awesome. And then to get our group commissioner to come in and also be a leader was awesome.
Well, it helps when he has two kids in the section.
Yeah, that helped.
You know, it's kind of a given. And then you actually should have, you'll have the former Akela from the Cub Pack most likely coming in to help you out as well. And she's really solid too. So
we're going to have to find out what her old beaver name was and see if we can't reinstitute it.
That's true.
Call her Bubbles.
Yeah, or Bubbles. It could happen.
No offense to anybody out there named Bubbles in their beaver group.
We're not saying we have a scouter who is Sunshine, but also calls herself not Bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not saying that.
We do. Anyway, not quite what I wanted to go on about, but you know, what is this podcast without tangents?
It's true.
Well, it's probably the same podcast, but a lot shorter. Okay. So anyways, we were at the Beavery.
2017 Northern Lights Beavery.
Yes. Well, the 2017 Alberta Beavery, actually, because we had Northern Lights and Chinook. And yeah, it was
this is the biggest one they've had in a while.
It, I mean,
this
may
is only my
have,
second one.
It but. May have been. I'm waiting on like final numbers. It may have been possibly like the biggest ever. I'm not entirely sure, but to have well over 600 people at Camp Woods, that's a big camp regardless. And over 350 registered youth, you know, just the beavers. Yeah. And then, of course, the offers of service and everybody else on top of that. This was a sizable gathering.
It was huge.
It was huge.
I remember last year us pulling up at like 6 o'clock and there was so much room. And this year I couldn't figure out how to weave through all of the tents properly. So A, I didn't hit a beaver with my truck, and B, so I actually got my tent trailer to where the group was. And that was impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was, in a way it was nice because like they used McEwen's Landing. Okay. So for those of you, we're really getting into in talk here.
Yeah.
So Camp Woods, of course, I believe I mentioned it before on the podcast. It's one of two scout camps in Alberta now. Well, actually, technically one of three, because Ernest Pool hasn't quite been sold off, I don't think, as of the time I'm recording this.
I don't think so.
So, but anyways, it's one of the two major scout camps in Alberta. It's situated on Sylvan Lake, which is kind of right smack dab in the middle of the province, not too far from a city called Red Deer. And it's like 140 acres of land. Like, it's big.
Oh, it's massive.
It's big. It's got pretty much all of the adventure activities you could ask for, the rope course and the obstacle course, bouldering / climbing wall, the range. You know, it's got a full-on archery range. It's got two waterfronts. One's more of a beach. One's a dedicated boat launch.
Yep.
Multiple cabins with full kitchens and bunkhouses. And then, of course, it also has this massive, it's got this sort of beautiful combination chapel area / campfire circle. So, it is actually designated as both. It's an outdoor chapel. There is actually like a little altarpiece there. And then, of course, that's also where the campfire circle is. And there's all sorts of benches made of old timber. And then, of course, there's plenty of campsites. There's a road system that snakes through, Camp Woods. So there's campsites for RVs. There's campsites for tenting. And then, of course, there's the big field called McEwen's Landing, which is huge. Like it is a very, very big, just grassy field. They usually have a ton of picnic tables in there as well.
They usually, oh yes.
And they did that. This year was no exception.
None. Yeah.
And that is like, I mean, that field has been used for many a jamboree. And I think that was kind of one of the things they really changed up this year, because like last year, there were still a lot of people at the Beaverie, but they were either clustered in that sort of southern, the southwestern corner of McEwen's Landing, or they were back in the trees, in the sites, in the tenting sites back there.
Yes.
And this year they kind of tried to push people out into McEwen's Landing proper, which I liked, because like it really reminded me of the of like being at a jamboree, right? Like I think back to to Canadian Jamboree or World Jamboree and just how the sub camps were organized. And it was basically just a bunch of groups pitching their tents in a very large field. So it was nice to have that feeling at, you know, now the Beaverie. And I mean, certainly the attendance was high enough to warrant, you know, it actually did feel like a proper mini jamboree, which was, I think, probably the intent.
Oh, and yeah.
It was awesome.
Friday was massive, massive. Mm-hmm. I was, this weekend, I don't think I have ever been prouder to be part of the Scouts movement. And as you know, I was a Beaver and then I moved up to Cubs, but I didn't move on past Cubs for a number of reasons. And then I've always wanted to get back into scouting, last year being my first chance to do so. And then, of course, this year being year number two. And I am always amazed at how, as a scout family, we all come together. It doesn't matter where we are from and what we are doing. We will all come together. And this past weekend was a great show of that. Now, mind you,
we had so much weather,
and it kind of cut down on the attendance by quite a bit.
It did. And I mean, like, it's unfortunate because, and I got to measure my words carefully, because I don't want to sound any of this to sound like an indictment, but I mean, like, you know, it was fairly, and okay, granted, the weather report was kind of scattershot.
Yes.
You know, it kept changing every day or every half day leading up to Beaverie. It did keep changing. But it, for as much as it did change, the main thing that changed was the volume of rain predicted and the probability that it would fall. But from about Tuesday on, every time I looked at the weather app on my phone, there was never not a rain cloud over Saturday.
Yes.
And that, you know, so, I mean, we were very, and like I say, I don't want to make this sound like I'm indicting or, you know, like pointing fingers. And I certainly can't say that our own group was perfect in this regard. It's a little unfortunate that, you know, given that the weather report was at least consistent on the point that rain was going to fall on Saturday, which bore out in a big way.
Oh, yeah.
As it turned out. It's unfortunate that some groups were caught flat-footed without proper rain gear.
Yeah, I was thinking about that and wondering if that is, you know, is that a group doesn't have the right resources problem, or is that just poor planning?
Or, you know, like, I mean, we saw the rain coming. Yep. We sent out communication.
Yeah.
And I had at least two youth leave who didn't have proper rain gear.
Yeah.
You know, from our group, there were two youth who weren't kitted out for the rain. So it could just be something as simple as, you know, because I mean, like, you can send out all the communications you want, but if someone doesn't heed those communications, then what do you do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of truth to that.
I mean, we had emergency ponchos on hand. I think a few of the kids availed themselves of these.
They did.
And, you know, that was good. But some people just got drenched, and that's unfortunate, and they left, and that's unfortunate too, because, you know, at the end of the day, and here was the real, like, I mean, I think what really was commendable about both our youth and also the scouter team was that the youth stayed incredibly positive. You know,
that was huge.
That was amazing. And I mean, I had to leave early. I had another commitment that was also that weekend, but like, that was the last thing I said to them as I was, you know, heading out with my backpack on, is just, you know, like, thank you, everybody. You stayed so incredibly positive in spite of the rain.
Yeah.
In spite of the cold.
Yeah.
In spite of just the overall conditions of the camp. And I mean, like, I don't want to make it sound like it was a hellhole, because it wasn't. I mean, at the end of the day, they did have
Tons of fun.
It was, you know, like, grant, okay, we had to cancel canoeing. Fine. That, you know, the lake was choppy. You wouldn't have sent scouts out on that.
No.
So you're definitely not going to send beavers out on that. That's understandable. But, you know, they still, all kudos to the Beaver Replanting Committee, because they did a bang up job of either moving activities indoors or coming up with alternative activities. I loved their solution to keep the slingshots going. That was tops.
Yeah. That was awesome.
And I mean, like, okay, fine. Couldn't go canoeing. So they had like a bead activity. That was all right though. The kids had fun with that. Beavers like making bead art.
Oh yeah. That was tons of fun. And my kids still talk about it.
Yeah. The bouldering wall is enclosed anyways. So that was able to still kind of happen. Yep. And they had, that was of course where they also had like the theme of the camp was Everyday Heroes. Focusing on police and firefighter and EMT and military. So that was where they had like the military display too. I got a great shot of Glenn with the Lee Enfield. Got to send that to him.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And, it was, and I mean, like, you know, it certainly required a lot of flexibility on our part, but you know, we made sure that as much as possible, we got the youth out to each event for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. But if anybody got cold, pack them up, get them back to the camp, throw them in a trailer with the heater on, ply them with a bit of hot chocolate, you know, and just get them charged up for the next event. And you just kind of keep going from there.
I was impressed with the lack of youth that we had to do that with. I think there was a very small handful of youth that we had to do that with.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not surprised that my daughter was one of them, because much like my wife, she gets cold.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She gets chilled, and that's just how it happens. You know, if it had been my older daughter, she'd have probably been out there until she was literally like sopping wet from every pore of her skin. You know, just different temperaments and different tolerances, right?
Absolutely.
But yeah, there were a couple of other kids who needed a periodic warm-up, and that was all right. But I mean, the point is, you know, we were really able to be flexible around that. We were able to make sure that we had places for the kids to go to warm up and just have a mug of hot chocolate and be good about it. We had chatter our one scouter who just basically stayed at the camp the whole time, making coffee, making hot chocolate.
She was the den mom for the most part.
Mm-hmm. She makes such good camp coffee, though.
She does indeed. Don't tell her I said that.
At the end of the day, the youth had smiles on their faces. They were having fun at the events. They were coming away happy. And that was really, just the best thing to see, because it could have gone the other way, you know,
absolutely.
Like it could have absolutely turned into just a disaster because, the rain started at 3 a.m. It didn't end until 3 p.m. and it was kind of just coming in waves, heavy, light, heavy, yep. light. It was not particularly warm.
Nope.
The conditions would have been difficult for scout aged youth. I think it would have been a bit of a camper. challenge for scout age youth for sure.
Yep.
To take it on with beavers and to bring them through smiling. Now I got to admit, the Sunday I woke up, honestly, I felt hungover, my wife's pregnant. There's a bottle of wine upstairs, but it hasn't even been opened.
Like all scout camps, it's a dry camp.
Yeah.
You are not allowed alcohol, period.
Yeah. It's like we were not drinking at Camp Woods. That is not what I am saying.
No.
And, I'm not saying that I had a lot to drink when I came home. I had nothing except water to drink for the rest of the evening, actually, on Saturday when I came back. But just I woke up the next morning and that was how wrecked I felt, just from the sheer amount of effort that I think I poured out into, just making sure my gosh, we really have to work hard to make sure that the youth are taken care of and having fun and engaged. And it's just, I've done it before where, I've just come away from an event being just like, oh my gosh, I am toast. But I forget, right? Like I forget. And then I wake up the next morning and it's just like, oh, right. That's what enthusiasm also feels like.
When we finally parted ways on Sunday, my oldest daughter, I have twins. And of course, my twins are 4 minutes apart. So the oldest of my children, the oldest twin, was asleep. I don't even think we hit the highway and she was out cold. We got home, she went back up to bed and slept all the way until the next morning.
Nice. Very nice.
She was done. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Juliana was pretty wrecked as well. She had a little bit of a harder time at home. I won't go into too many details.
No,
but I think just
so bad.
She had a lot of fun. And, even she came away smiling from it, but I think just, it was just a ton of effort for her and it was just really, really hard on her. And so Saturday night, she was pretty much done for. And then all of Sunday was just recuperation for her. But that said, over the course of the week, she's had, lots of fun memories of the camp. So that's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
But yeah, I got to give a little shout out to the med vents, both because, they were very gracious when we went and visited them. Their advisor actually got in touch with me afterwards, said that they absolutely loved having the beavers come in and say,
oh, that's awesome.
And, but also, just because the Northern Lights med vents, of course, were out at the camp at least for the day on Saturday.
And they brought the ambulance.
They did. They brought the support vehicle.
That was awesome.
Uh-huh. That thing's always a draw. But no, I was kind of joking with one of them that's like, wow, saw you 2 weeks ago at Cubbery and it was the sweltering hot sun and you were dealing with kids who were, getting overheated and getting parched. And now here you are and you're dealing with exactly the opposite problem.
Yeah.
You're dealing with kids who are getting too cold, too wet. So
slightly hypothermic.
Yeah.
At times.
Good.
But that all comes down to layers. Saturday night, both my kids said to me that they were cold. Now, Julia, my daughter, there was no way she was not leaving the two girls that were in her tent.
Right.
She was going back to that tent, and there was no ifs, ands, or about it. But she said, I was cold last night. So I said, okay, let's layer you up. We'll get on a couple of different. I think when she went to bed, she had two pairs of pants, two pairs of socks, a long sleeve shirt, a short sleeve shirt, a sweater, mittens, and then blankets on top of all of that. My son took a little bit more convincing to go back into the tent with the Glenn's son, who was already asleep by the time he got to the tent.
Michael was going hard. He really was.
He was good. Mm-hmm. But again, layer him up and talk to him about it. But not once did either of them say, I'm cold and I want to go home. And that was the greatest thing that I heard. Because like you said before, if it had gone the other direction and everybody was like, I'm cold, I want to go home. Because we've all been there at either a personal camping trip where that's happened or out with other group and it ruins your whole weekend.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, like that was the unfortunate case for some groups who, I mean, some groups like, because it wasn't just the rain, the wind was terrible too.
Oh yeah.
At times it would gust up. And so like, I know some groups had their sites get blown down and that's unfortunate. And there's not really much you can do to come back from that. Or it's a lot harder to come back from that. Ditto when, you know, you wake up and you're actually like in water.
Yeah. That's really tough.
That's a hard one to come back from. I totally get that. That's a break point and it's unfortunate.
And then the Beaverie committee came back and said, if you are having problems, we have open cabins. Come and take them.
Yeah, they did a really good job of figuring out how to get the cabins
opened up. Big kudos to them. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. That was so inclusive.
Yep. They were nothing if not incredibly adaptable.
Big time.
So, you know, all props, mad props to them. Like that was really, really excellent. And actually, I'm hoping to get them on in a future episode here.
Yeah.
So we'll actually kind of hear them, because it would be good to kind of go into detail on, like, you know, what a beaverie is and what it entails and all that good stuff. Funnily enough, like, it's good to have this debrief on the beaverie, but the point that I really wanted to actually address in the episode tonight is, and it's something that, you know, something you said a couple of minutes ago is actually a really good segue into it. It's the fact that, you know, your daughter was in a tent with two other girls,
mm-hmm.
right? Two other beaver-aged youth. And your son was in a tent with one other beaver-aged youth.
Yep.
You know? And it's funny because this is something that I still run into, not so much with our group. Our parents are actually really good about this.
Yeah. Incredibly so.
But there are still, from my interactions with other scouters, there are still a number of groups who, even some here in Edmonton apparently, who are under the impression that beavers have to be accompanied by their parents when they go on any sort of overnight excursion. And that isn't true anymore.
No. Now,
I say anymore advisedly because until about 2014, that was the case. Beavers had to be accompanied by a parent for any overnight excursion.
Now, did they have to be in the same place? So did the parent and the beaver have to sleep in the same tent if that's what was happening?
Or in the same space, like if we were in, say, a museum?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
They basically had to be, like, there had to be a parent staying the night with them. Now, again, we didn't struggle with this too much in our group.
No.
This would have been, I mean, this policy change really would have happened before you signed up.
Yep.
But like the first year that I was a scouter with my eldest, it was something that we had to deal with. And to be fair, parents are pretty good about it. At least for the museum trip we did. I think we went to the Terrell Museum that year. So that is, for those of you who don't know what the Terrell Museum is, the Royal Terrell Museum is located in Drumheller, Alberta. That is that's in southern Alberta. It's not too far from the city of Calgary. Well, it's a bit of a drive from the city of Calgary, but it's kind of in that region of the province. It is in an area called the Badlands, and that particular area of the province has been just rich with fossils and dinosaur bones. And so the Royal Tyrrell Museum is a very, very excellent museum that's all about dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Probably one of the better ones. I mean, I don't know a ton of them around the world, but my understanding is it is in the top number of museums in the world for that display.
It's awesome. And they do all kinds of arranged sleepovers for different groups. Actually, my eldest daughter is going there in October because her grade four class gets to go have a sleepover there.
Oh, man.
So
she gets to go there a couple of times.
Well, yeah. Although like this year, we have a 3-year cycle of museum sleepovers. Yep. So this year, I think we're going back to our October or November trip is going to be the TELUS.
Because we did.
It was Reynolds
first year when it was just James and I in on Mondays with you. We did Royal Tyrrell.
Yeah.
And then
it was the Reynolds year.
Was old.
Yeah.
Reynolds. Tascan, thank you.
And then, so yeah, we go back to the TELUS World of Science, a big science museum here in Edmonton, and that's our 3-year cycle. Which reminds me, I got to be much more on the ball about bedtime at the TELUS World of Science. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
1 a.m.? No.
No.
Anyways, that was a tangent. But yeah, so like the first year that I was a scouter with, you know, Ella, my eldest, as a beaver, we did the camp at the Tyrrell, and we had really great attendance. Lots of parents were game to go. But conspicuously, we did nothing else for camps the rest of the year.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Mm-hmm. Just a lot of, you know, indoor activities and outdoor activities too. But like, you know, it was all, the rest of the year was basically just all like gym activities. And to be fair, actually at the time, Beavery existed, but it was a 1-day thing. It was just Saturday and that was it.
Oh, you would just drive
to, yeah, it was held at the Petroleum Society, just outside of Edmonton.
Oh, yeah. Here,
on the south side of the city.
Where they had Funorama in the last couple of years.
Yep. And so, I mean, it was just a 1-day thing. You know, you'd show up at like 9 a.m. on Saturday and you'd be out of there by 4, maybe 5. Which is fine. I mean, because like, if you think about how like Beavery is structured now, you know, the main body of events is still starts at about 9, ends at about 5.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the activity cycle at the camp. But what are you missing out on? Well, you're missing out on, you know, being there really with all the other groups, having the opportunities to pitch your tent, sleep in your tent, campfire, you know, doing the scout zone the next morning. Yep. And then they have the wrap-up activity. It's just, you know, there's a lot more to that experience that was not being captured by that. But because for a lot of groups, getting the parents to be out there with the youth, especially if it comes to tenting, is more of a hurdle to get over. Camping with beavers wasn't really as much of a thing. And
no,
you know, contrast that with this year, where if a youth went to basically everything that we did camp wise, that's what, 7 nights, I think, 7 or 8 nights away from home.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we could probably improve on that a little bit more, actually.
Well, and you've said previously that Riverbend is, they do a lot.
They do. Heck, the last year there, they did an investiture camp. So they actually did.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to steal that idea, but like we did good with camps this year, but we could probably push it a little further. And actually I have an idea about that. Which I'll mention to you just briefly once we go offline again.
Yeah.
It was around that. It was basically after that first year that the policy changed. And then it's taken about 3 years to really get us to a point now where we can do the quarterly, at least, excursions. And I mean, like I probably could have done it on a tighter timeline like that. Tighter timeline than that, but I really wanted to step into it. But yeah, it's since about 2014, the requirement for parents to accompany beavers on an overnight camp does not exist anymore. And unfortunately, a lot of groups still fall back on that or still practice that. And it's unfortunate because, you know, really it's very, very limiting. I mean, yeah, there are parents who are very supportive and enthusiastic and who'll go along with it.
Yep.
But that was, you know, our big experience, or that was our experience of it, is that, you know, it was a big limiter because not, you know, maybe a quarter of parents are going to be like really gung ho. Yeah, sure. Let's get out in a tent and do this. And the rest, not so much. And so, you know, a lot of camp ideas just kind of had to not even be voiced because, you know, you kind of knew that if you did try and get a camp, you might get five kids out. And that's not really, you could do,
it's, I mean, not as much fun.
Yeah, you could do a camp with five kids, but it's not as much fun.
No.
And then of course there's all the extra paperwork and the code of conduct and signing and stuff like that.
Paperwork.
It's honestly, that's, I think there's, I mean, it's nice when parents are at camp if they pitch in. And again, with our group, not too much of a problem there. The parents who show up do usually pitch in.
For the most part.
Yeah. Exceptions exist, but that's fine.
A few exceptions. Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah. But, and I mean, it's definitely nice when you have that, but it's a different experience for the youth when mom and dad aren't there.
Totally different experience.
It's, I almost don't know how to really approach this first because like there's so many different ways in which it's such a wildly different experience. How the kids act and how they will respond to, directions from their scouters or how they can be encouraged to work together as a team. All of these things shift dramatically when parents are in the picture versus not in the picture. And the results generally of, you know, being able to have the youth in a situation where they're out on their own are very, very positive, right? Like it's, just watching the way the Beavers, I mean, you know, whether it's organizing an impromptu soccer game or just the way they, you know, really reinforce each other in the face of bad weather.
Yeah.
All of these, you know, all of these really surprising character traits get to be expressed by virtue of the fact that, you know, they are in a way on their own. You know, I mean, obviously we, the scouters, are still there and supporting them, but you know, like it's still very different for them because, you know, like they're still,
they
know they can come to us if they have a problem, but they also know that, you know, okay, yeah, like mom, dad, they're not here. So I'm going to try and figure this out.
Well, and we had that, Friday night. We had a situation where one of the youth who was in the boys' tent that my son James was in,
right,
started to get upset. He wanted to see his dad, and his dad has a bad back, couldn't stay in a tent, was sleeping in a hotel, but gates were closed at 11, and it was past 11 at that point. So we had to talk him down from it, and we had to say, I'm sorry, your dad can't come and get you right now. You're going to have to stay the night, but we're not going to make you be uncomfortable. So I'll come back and check in 20 minutes. Well, one of the boys next to him said, you know what? I'm here. We can talk and I can be here for you if you need me. 20 minutes later, I went back. Everybody's out. So I think in this case, it was a combination of he didn't have that safety net with his parent around. Mm-hmm. And two, he was so beyond tired probably that he was just beside himself.
Yeah. And I mean, and I guess that's the real challenge, right? Because like, unfortunately, it's going to be true just about any camp. You know, kids are going to be up past their normal bedtime. Oh, yeah. That just is going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially in the case of my kids. Good gosh. but yeah, like it really, it does give the youth a chance to really shine a little bit because that's one of the things that we want to do is we really want to, you know, see the youth. We talk a lot about personal progression and it's nice to see the youth earn badges or level up in the outdoor adventure skills. All these are good things, but it's more those moments, you know, where one youth is having trouble and another youth just suddenly has this outburst of leadership. And it's just like, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, I can help you.
Yeah. And that was awesome.
I got this. And it's just like, wow. Like that right there is you know, more than someone earning a badge, more than someone, you know, showing me that they can tie a reef knot. That's what you're looking for. It's just those moments.
Yep. Absolutely.
And seeing youth grow in those ways. And it's just like, we were missing that when, the beavers had to always be accompanied. And I mean, like, I get it, because on the one hand, it's scary, you know, or it's, well, scary might not be the right word, but like certainly for a 5-year old,
I think scary
being out from under the mom and dad safety net is definitely going to be a significant challenge. And yeah, they might feel scared.
Yep.
Or concerned, or, you know, they're going to feel out of their element to a certain degree. And I mean, obviously it does come down to, and I have to be careful how I present all of this, because it's not that I want to seem like I'm discouraging parents from attending.
I
should really clarify that. You know, if parents do want, I mean, ultimately parents know their kid, they know the temperament of their child. If in the parent's estimation, their child really wouldn't be able to do a night alone in a tent, or, you know, a night in a tent without the parent there,
come,
please, by all means, come.
Absolutely.
I get that. You know,
we're going to put you to work, but you still have to come.
Yeah. You know, you're going to be helping out, but yeah, by all means, like, do come, you know, your child, and, you know, so that, you know, you do get to make that call, obviously. But if you think your child can do it, try and get them to do it. And I mean, like, there's,
kids are pretty resilient.
Kids are pretty resilient. And I mean, like, there are some things that, you know, as parents that you can do to kind of help out in terms of, you know, like,
yeah,
getting your child to a point where they're not necessarily going to feel as scared or scared at all, or homesick, right? Like, I mean, as a parent, you can, it's important for you, I don't know how many parent, like how many non-scouter parents are listening, but as a parent of a youth who's going to be going to a camp without you, it's important for you to communicate with them that, hey, you know, I want you to, you know, my hope for you is that you're going to have fun at this camp.
You know,
really make it clear that, you know, like, the camp is supposed to be a fun experience for them, and that you really wish nothing more for them than that, so that they're going to have just so much fun at the camp. They need to know that you're okay with them going to the camp, and they need to know that you have a really positive outlook on what the camp is going to entail and how the camp is going to go.
And hopefully by the time you get to a camp, the youth are, for the most part, fairly familiar with the scouter team that is with them.
Yes, absolutely.
So that can also make a big deal. I mean, if you're going camping first week, parents had better be there.
Because, good luck with that.
Yeah. It's not going to, maybe there are some groups that do really well. I don't think it would be ours.
I've not met any, but maybe this happens. But on that note, you know, that's the next thing that, you know, as a parent, you can do to kind of help your youth prepare is, you know, just let them know that the scouters are there for them. And I mean, again, if they have a good rapport with the scouters already, if they've gotten to know them through the course of like a month or two of meetings, that's probably more ideal. But still, you know, you as the parent can really communicate to them that, hey, the scouters are still there. If you have any problem, just find one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And let them know.
Yeah. Even, you know, small things like camping in your backyard. If you have a tent and you can do it, go and sleep in the tent in your backyard, even if it's just one night, because it also helps bring that child the knowledge of, oh, I can do one night out of my bed and sleep on the ground, for example.
Or, you know, I mean, if you live like in an apartment or something like that, then just, I don't know, have a camp out in the living room, you know, just
change it up.
Just
absolutely.
Just, you know, just have a night where it's like, nope, we're not sleeping under beds tonight. We're going to go sleep in the dining room. You know, we'll make a big fort out of the dining table and we'll sleep in there.
Oh, and it's, you know, you say fort and any kid, you know, their eyes light up. We're going to have fort. That's awesome.
You know, I mean, a tent is not too far off of a fort as a child might render it.
Yeah.
Anyways, just looking across the basement at the latest creation. Sort of related to that, though, too, is that, you know, in addition to getting your child, you know, used to the occasional night out of bed, but still sleeping.
Yes.
Help them pack. Pack with them, you know?
Please.
And I mean, like, what I mean by that is more, like, I mean, obviously you should never, ever just let a five-year-old wander around the house picking what he or she thinks I'm going to need for a night at camp.
Because you'll get one shoe, some Tupperware, probably flip plastic bags.
Maybe a toothbrush if you're a particularly conscientious child.
But, and they're stuffy.
Yes, and a stuffy. But no, just more, it's a little bit more involved than that. It's like, you know, actually sitting down with them and saying, you know, like, okay, well, like, hey, here are your socks. And, you know, here is another pair of socks and here's another pair of socks. If one pair gets wet, just take it off, put another pair on.
Absolutely.
You know, so really kind of help them understand what they're carrying to camp. Help them understand why they have it, you know.
Yes.
And because that will really sort of, you know, build up their assurance that, you know, oh, okay, well, I'll be okay.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I've got, yeah, I have extra socks. And, oh, okay, good, I know my sleep shirt's in here now. And, oh, okay, good, I do have an extra pair of pants. And, okay, good, you know, like I have some extra shirts to wear and there's a warm shirt and there's, you know, cooler shirts. And there, it's, you just, you're really building up in their mind that all of their needs are still going to be taken care of.
Yes.
And, you know, they're going to be okay. Those are really the big things to try and communicate to a youth before they go out solo. Or, well, I keep saying the word solo, but like, I mean, we don't usually let a beaver sleep alone in a tent.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of dangers in there.
We usually put like two or three beavers together in a tent, sometimes four. I've done four.
Yep.
But you know, like when they're going to be going to a camp unaccompanied by a parent, like there's a lot you can do to really sort of bolster their confidence. And the more you can do that, the more they're likely to just show up at camp and not even remember that mom or dad isn't even there because they're too busy. You know, they see the rest of the colony and they're just off.
Oh yeah.
And gone.
Big time.
And, you know, or like, you know, your daughter with the girl's tent. And yep. It was the same with my eldest at Cabaret, right? It was like, yep. There was a girl's tent and, well, that was basically the end of it. You know, it's like, I'm sleeping in
she
here.
She was in it.
Because this is clearly the awesomest thing going and I'm not worried about a darn thing. So, yeah. Now, I mean, we as scouters can do a lot as well for beavers. So, you know, like for scouters, I mean, information is key. And we kind of alluded to this in talking about, you know, some of the pitfalls that groups suffered through at Beavery this year is, you know, keep parents informed, right?
That's a huge thing.
Yeah. We communicate with parents constantly. And I mean, even then, we don't have the 100% hit rate, unfortunately. But still, like, you know,
there's an occasional crack that somebody falls down or a piece of information that we forget to pass on.
Exactly. And, you know, more than just communicating, make sure that, you know, you're taking notes throughout the year. So, like, when I started doing communications for Beavery, it's like, you know, okay, here is the packing list.
Yeah.
And in that first email, I'm just like, okay, in previous outings, we have noticed that people have forgotten items such as listed off some of the most common things. Mess yes. kits, for example.
Yes.
So just like, please make sure that you have a mess kit. Make sure. And I actually had some parents email me back. Just like, oh yeah, right. Mess kit. What do you recommend?
Oh
and,
man.
You know, I'm like, here's the one, like, here's the one I use. It's like $20 a Canadian Tire.
So
here's a set of mugs for it, you know, if you want, or just like throw in a couple of non-breakable mugs from your own collection. Here's some other options. Like, I mean, I had one parent ask me literally like the mess kit recommendation. I sent her back like three links, one to Mech, one to the wholesale, whatever that camping wholesale thing is.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And one to Canadian Tire. She's like, here's a bunch of options. Mine's the last one. They did actually go with the same one as me. But fortunately, they use different mugs. So, you know, it was easy to tell our mess kits apart. It's like, okay, I don't have minions. Right.
I'm trying to think of where. So my twins. Oh, I know. I bought my mess kits at the scout shop, the first two. And then in April, when I had to get my youngest a mess kit, Canadian Tire. And I got to say, the Canadian Tire mess kit comes with more stuff and is a nicer mess kit.
Like when it comes to stuff like the sleeping bags or tents, I probably wouldn't necessarily go to Canadian Tire because the Outland stuff is, it's okay. It's serviceable, but it's not like, oh my gosh,
it does the job for the time.
Yeah. But I mean, if you need the hardware side of things,
oh yeah,
Canadian Tire is not a bad place to go.
No,
really not a bad place to go. Not that I'm, we are not sponsored by Canadian Tire.
Not at all.
But anyways, but yeah, it's that communication with parents is a big part of, what we as a scouter can do to, make it easier for then parents to prepare their youth to be at camp unaccompanied. And again, that's making sure that they're in the loop with packing lists and making sure that they're in the loop with schedules and making sure that you're going back and revising things like the packing list as conditions change, right? We did that this time. By the way, forecast is looking like rain. Make sure they got rain there. Make sure they got extra socks. Make sure they got extra clothes,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big thing. And we're always going to have somebody that doesn't do that. But
still, as much as possible, we try and communicate that.
That's the big thing.
And then, I kept putting NPS, bring a mess kit. because you do, it's that concept. What's the buzz phrase in the business world, right? You want to set people up for success.
Yeah.
And that communication and making sure that people are informed about all the different things that they need to be informed about, concerning what to bring to camp and what conditions are going to be like. The more you can give them, the more they can communicate to their kids, the more they can prepare their kids, and you're just setting them up to succeed. And this is a good thing.
Absolutely. And parents, if you aren't listening to the information that your scouters are giving to you,
please do.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have a grumpy kid when they come home because, you might have been given all the information, but you didn't follow it. And I can say for a fact, every camp that we have been to, we have had a couple of kids that have forgotten something here and there, but it's been minor, thankfully.
So I have one frustration that I often vent in conversations like these, and I'm going to keep everything anonymous because yes, but we were at one camp and this is actually why I started harping on the mess kit concept in emails because I had one kid who didn't have a mess kit there.
Yep.
And just like, oh no, did you forget your mess kit? And the dad was there and he chimed in. He's just like, oh, that was my wife's job to pack. And I didn't say this to him, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking apart from the fact that I find that statement kind of offensive, why would you ever come to a camp, granted, we had running water and we had power where we were, but why would you come out to a camp like this where you're, a good couple hours away from home, the location's kind of remote, you're roughing it a little bit. Why would you come into that kind of situation and not even know what was in the bag you were bringing? Why would you not at least check to make sure that you had what you knew you needed to succeed at the camp?
It's no different than when you go to airport security and they ask, did you pack the bag yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Same idea. You got to know what you're bringing with you. How do you know if you're going to have enough clothing?
Yeah. Do you ever see that movie, Michael Douglas movie, The Ghost in the Darkness?
No.
Okay. So it's about lions primarily. It's about lions who are terrorizing this African village. And okay. Michael Douglas shows up. He's kind of this mercenary hunter type. And Val Kilmer is also in the movie. And so Michael Douglas kind of shows up and he's going to help them hunt these lions down. And Val Kilmer is one of the people in the town. And so they're kind of working together. Well, before they go out on one particular excursion where they're trying to hunt the lions, the town doctor kind of pulls Val Kilmer aside and hands him like his rifle. Okay. He's like, you know, this is like, I don't know, the camera was like a family, but the point is he's very proud of this rifle and he's like, I want you to take this, you know, like use this. So they go out hunting and the rifle misfires at a critical moment.
Of course.
And afterwards, Michael Douglas is just like, what? Like, he's, you know, he's like, what the heck was that? And Val Kilmer explains, you know, like, this is my gun. This isn't my gun. Like, I was given it by the doctor. And Michael Douglas just looks at him like he's crazy. He's like, you went into battle with an untested weapon.
Yeah.
And like, that was the scene that played in my head, you know, as he was telling me this. And I'm just like, not that we were going into battle, not that anybody had weapons, but it's just kind of, it's that same thing. It's just like, you know,
same, yeah,
you
same, don't, similar idea.
You know, you shouldn't just go blindly into a camping experience without being fully familiar with what gear you are bringing. You know, and again, that's, you know, it's set yourself up for success.
Oh, big time. Because I can give my wife the packing list and say, here, pack this stuff. But then our 3-year-old comes and distracts her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't get back to it. I assume she's done everything. Oh, I don't have pants. I don't have socks. I don't have underwear.
Problems.
But I got lots of shirts.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. You really should be checking your own gear. But again, like, as scouters, we can really, you know, just try and communicate to parents as much as possible. Hey, here are the things you should bring. If conditions change, if the weather forecasts change, keep that communication loop going. Keep it big open. Time. I don't know if you ever heard of the concept of the OODA loop.
No.
Observe, orient, decide, act. This was
Now I've heard of it.
Yeah, this was a concept that was popularized actually by fighter pilots back in the days when dogfights were still a thing, right? Because basically the pilot who could observe the other pilot, orient his plane, decide how to attack, and then act on it faster was probably going to come out of the dogfight the winner. But it has a lot of applications in a lot of other areas. And this is, you know, one of them. You're getting ready for a camp. Well, you know, just observe, orient, you know, so observe. Oh, hey, the weather forecast has completely changed for the weekend. All right. Orient. Okay. Well, we're still doing this.
Yep.
So make a decision and act upon it. Okay. We're still doing this. Need to bring rain gear. Bring rain gear. Go to camp. Just kind of keep that process and keep that going again and again, right? Like the whole concept of the OODA loop is that it's an iterative thing. It's always happening. It's not just a big one-time time thing. And, you know, keep those lines of communications open. Conditions change. Communicate that to the parents. If that means new gear, if that means a little bit of a shift in travel plans, if that means anything, just make sure parents are appraised of it and keep going. Also, you know, you as the scouter can really help beavers ease into the unaccompanied camping experience by, you know, reinforcing the messaging of the parents that, hey, this is going to be fun. Like, we're going to have a blast at camp.
Oh yeah.
If you believe it, they will believe it. And I mean, we saw that in spades at Beavery. Like, all of us was just
big time,
you know, we're here to have fun. And as long as we could keep that positivity, the beavers could keep that positivity. And it was,
well, and I also think, like, I think as leaders, we were still talking and laughing and having a good time, even though the weather was terrible. The beavers pick up on that stuff, right? Youth always pick up on the stress of the accompanying leaders. And if we were stressed and upset, they would get stressed and upset. And we as parents or leaders, doesn't matter which, if we try and hide some of that or mitigate it in one way or another and just have fun at events like this, that's what the youth are going to remember. They might remember, oh yeah, it rained all weekend, which my kids do. But then in the same breath, they also say it was so much fun. And one of the youth that left early is already looking forward to next year.
Ah, nice.
I just talked to his dad today. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
And then of course, once the youth are on site, work with them to make sure that, you know, they understand site. Like, you know, what is one of the first things we did? Well, I mean, we got the tents pitched, obviously.
Yep.
But then, you know, we call the groups together. And, you know, I mean, some of it's explaining ground rules. You don't walk into another group's site without asking their permission first, things like that.
Rules.
But also,
you got to have the rules, yeah, first.
But also, hey, see those over there? Them's the bathrooms.
Yeah. I was very impressed with the bathrooms at Beavery this year. I don't totally remember them from last year.
Well, last year they had some porta potties they brought in, but they mostly just relied on the on-site facilities. And I mean, Woods has lots of pit toilets.
It does.
And it has some indoor toilet facilities as well, like flush toilets, showers, things like that.
Yes.
It's fairly well equipped in that regard. But yeah, for the most part, they were just relying on the infrastructure that Woods had. But I think kind of as a combination of, well, A, you know, the fact that Woods has traditional pit toilets, as aromatic as they are. And partly, I think, due to just the increased amount of people that they were going to be having on site, they made the decision to supplement what Woods had with, you know, contracted outhouses. And I mean, great decision. Best decision. Because, you know, yeah, the end result was, and much like Cubbery, they basically had, there were washrooms that had the boy symbol on the front, which anybody could use. And then there were washrooms that were pink and were only for the girls. They did something similar at Cubbery. You know, there was basically a bank of, again, just contracted outhouses.
And there was a lot of them.
Yep.
Thankfully.
Yep. There were actually, way more at Beavery than at Cubbery. Mind you, we had less people at Cubbery, so that's okay. But I mean, they had a bank of contracted outhouses and it was much the same. It's like if it was orange or white or green or whatever the colors were, anybody could use it. The pink ones, girls only. And I mean,
no smell to them, which was even better.
That's the nice thing about, you know, those contracted ones is because usually the contracting company will, you know, make sure that they maintain the outhouses during the course of the event. And that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike on-site outhouses where it's a little more difficult to do that.
Yes. So, but yeah, like those are all the things that you as the scouter then can do to help the kids really be set up to have a great camping experience. And then as much as possible, you know, like keep the familiarity, right? Like we open Beavery with a big riverbanks basically.
Yep.
And, you know, so as long as those same formulas that the kids have hopefully already become familiar with in meetings are still followed as much as possible under the, the conditions and at camp, it's just going to, you know, it helps camp feel not like camp. It helps camp feel like a meeting that's going to go on extra long today. And with a lot of really crazy fun stuff. So anyways, other sundry things. I've been doing a better job of hiding the fact, but I'm actually pulling a lot of what I'm saying here out of the It's New Beaver Scout Camping booklet that was published right around the 40th anniversary, actually, of Beavers. So already a few years ago.
Wow. I wasn't sure what you were looking up there. It almost looked like the new Canadian Path Scouter Guide.
It actually uses almost the Canadian Path formatting, but it's a little different.
I like it.
But anyways, yeah. So that's really the point I wanted to address in the meeting is the fact that whether you want to make it about bylaw policies and procedures, or whether you want to make it about just how the scouting program has changed in Canada, Beaver Scouts don't need to be accompanied by parents to a camp anymore. Hasn't been the case for at least 3 years. Still need to have that 1-to-8 ratio, scouters to youth.
Yes.
You know, and it's not that parents are not allowed to come, and it's not that we discourage parents from attending. It's just not a requirement, right? No. If parents want to attend, great. Obviously, you know, parents who do come, they have to sign the physical fitness form. They have to sign the code of conduct. They have to watch the safety video. And the expectation is that if you're at camp, you're going to be helping out in some capacity, right?
Hopefully.
There's
an exception every now and then.
But, you know, in general.
Yep.
And you know what? That's fine. But it's very much a case of, you know, like it's now elective for the parent to attend. If they want to attend, if they're enthusiastic to attend, or if, you know, they feel their child needs them to be there, you know, because their child is just genuinely not going to be comfortable being unaccompanied.
Yep.
By all means, come along.
I would even go so far as to say first year Beavers, by all means, you can send your first year beaver alone. But if you can make it to a camp for your first year beavers, your brown tails, parents, you need to come out to these events. A, because it's a lot of fun. If you're in the 59th currently, you don't have to do a ton of work. I believe one of our parents said that she felt like she was already on a spa treatment because breakfast was ready, coffee was ready, and her bed was all ready to go when she got there. So that was a plus for her.
And we waived this at Beaverie just because of the weather conditions. But yeah, under normal circumstances, we encourage your children to wash their own dishes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which is huge.
So, you know, in addition to the fact that, at least in our group, we will make you coffee instead of you making your own. And then you don't even have to wash your child's dishes, usually.
Which can be a benefit if you decide to go camping as a family, as my wife found out this year when we went camping for May Long Weekend, that, oh, you mean my two oldest kids know how to do dishes? Yes, dear, they do.
Yes. Now there are still some little, there are still some restrictions that exist. Actually, we can even take Beaver Scouts winter camping if we want. Although the requirements are a little bit stricter for winter camping.
I could imagine
beavers,
as much.
To take beavers like summer camping, something like the Beaverie. I mean, yeah, you can have them on tents in the field and it's good. And pit or outhouse type toilets are sufficient for our needs in those conditions. For winter camping, it's a little bit more. One of the adult volunteers has to have experienced winter camping, like has to be a very experienced winter camper. I don't know if there's actually a certification that attends this, but that might be something to look at.
Indeed.
A parent or guardian of each Beaver Scout must receive a list of required clothing and bedding, although that's kind of true for any camp.
I would hope so.
Telephone or similar communication device must be available for emergency use. Again, that's kind of something that we just do anyways, regardless.
Yes, as leaders, we always make sure that we have an emergency, quote unquote, telephone with us.
Yep. A vehicle to be used in the event of an emergency must be present on site. Again, not really different from any other particular camp.
Nope.
Here's where it is a little bit more different. You have to be in a weather resistant shelter with a heat source. So, tenting, winter tenting is out for beavers.
Yes.
But like how we did it at Pigeon Lake, that was fine. Right.
Yes.
You're in the cabins. Indoor washroom facilities must be available.
Okay.
Drinking water supply must be available and an emergency evacuation plan must be in place. So,
really, we just have to be able to keep them warm.
Safe. A lot of the rest of that is stuff that we kind of take care of anyways.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, the big change with the winter camping is that, like, unlike with the scouts who you can, you know, teach how to camp either in a tent or in like an improvised shelter in winter conditions. At least I believe you can. I certainly learned to in scouting. With beavers, you can't do that. It has to be a fixed shelter, weather resistant, good heat source.
Well, and I enjoyed the winter camp that we did this past year when we went to Pigeon Lake.
That was nice.
That was nice. And we still did lots of stuff outside and they did really well comparative to scouts.
Yeah. And that was cold that weekend too. It was like -25.
Cold. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were in a nice area that was kind of sheltered from the wind.
Thankfully.
So you just had the cool air. But if you're just out in the cool air, you can usually go longer, right? Like it's the wind that'll really do you in.
Oh yeah.
But they were just gung-ho for that too, right?
Like, oh yeah.
Juliana still talks about the SOS sign that we built, right? Like, you know, the making the signals in the snow and.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But yeah, they had a lot of fun with that one too. And I mean, again, like it's just, in a way, it was kind of much the same as we had to deal with at Beaverie, right? You get them out in the activity.
Yep.
But if they get cold, wrap it up, bring them in, ply them with hot chocolate, maybe do an indoor activity because I know we were kind of alternating between indoor and outdoor.
Yep.
And then suit them up again, back out in the snow. Repeat, repeat, repeat.
Yep.
And that worked really, really well. We got a lot of positive feedback about that camp, actually.
I don't think we had a youth there that didn't have proper snow gear. I'm trying to think, but I'm fairly certain all the youth that were there had the right clothing appropriate for that camp.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't think we really had any obvious omissions in that regard.
Thankfully.
Yeah, that was good. One other thing, just kind of going through this document. Here's one thing, though. And actually, this is relevant to that camp, too. The bunk beds.
Right.
The beavers have to be six before they get top bunk. If they're five, they have to be bottom bunk.
Okay, so that's good to know for next time.
Yep. I don't think we had a situation where we were in violation of that, but it is good to know there is actually a rule there. So if you are in a cabin-type setup with bunk beds, your five-year-olds, your brown tails, they got to be on the bottom bunk. Blue tails and white tails can have top bunk.
We might have had one or two, but that was the commissioner's kids, so...
Yeah, I don't remember that. Honestly, like the most hard and fast rules in this document pertain to bunk beds. Beavers must be at least 6 years old before they can use top bunk. Beavers must always use the ladder when going up and down on a bunk bed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no jumping.
Yeah.
Only one person allowed on top at a time.
Yeah.
Don't play underneath a bunk bed unless it's specifically designed that way by the manufacturer.
So most bunk beds, I don't think, are.
Yeah. Like I have seen, sure. I have seen, well, it's not, I guess it's kind, well, actually, yeah, I guess it would be a bunk bed. Like it's one of those bunk beds where the top and the bottom are at 90 degrees.
Yes.
You know, and then kind of in that extra little space, there's like a little activity area, right?
Yes.
So like
yes.
that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But that's not usually what you find when you go out to not a scout camp and just look in the bunkhouse. It's just bed on top, bed on the bottom.
Yeah.
Oriented the same way. Usually not an IKEA kit either. It's just like, you know, we built a wood frame together and it's a solid wood frame. It really is.
Oh yeah, they were really
but
good.
But it's, you know, it's definitely
it is handmade.
Yes.
From artesian wood.
It is bespoke. Yes. yes, these are bespoke bunk beds. Artisanal. other rules. Beavers must not tie anything, cords, sashes, ropes to the bed, and they must not keep toys or other objects in the bed. Excepting, of course, the comfort item that beavers are often encouraged to bring.
Yes. I am sure that we would have a lot of beavers that would run us out of town if we said, no, you cannot take that to bed. And it was their special item.
Yes.
Stuffy, blankie, whatever.
Yep. And that's the important thing too, is that, you know, like that's one other thing that beavers are, and that's on our packing list actually, is, you know, a comfort item. I mean, obviously no screens, you know, no electronics.
Nope.
But, you know. One of
the beautiful things about these camps.
Mm-hmm. But definitely like some kind of comfort item, stuffy, blanket, whatever. Just, you know, a little something that they can have, whether to snuggle with, or just like that smells a little like home, or just reminds them of home. Like that, just, you know, comfort item, plain and simple.
That's huge. That can be huge for brown tails, especially. But I'm definitely not going to rule out the blue tails or white tails.
Mm-hmm.
They are still at an age where they need that.
Yep.
They haven't quite let go of that part yet, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I mean, just, I guess to kind of wrap it up, like the main factor for success is just, again, for the scouters, the best thing you can do is just really be on top of the camp planning and the weather. And be sure you're communicating constantly as any of that changes. Be sure you're keeping the parents informed. For parents, it's really just, you know, listen to what the scouters are saying, but also use your own intuition, you know? I mean...
Absolutely.
I did actually put this in one email. I recommended toques.
Yes.
And I mean, just on the way out the door, as I was leaving to go to Beaverie, I just grabbed a pair of toques from the basket in the hall. And
smart.
Honestly, like, I mean, we had extra gear, you know, we had extra clothes and we had all the rest. And I mean, apart from my coffee cup, probably the best thing I brought was my toque because it got cold that night. And yeah, much the same for, you know, my daughter, right? It's just like
I that was smart.
Plopped her ladybug toque on and she was fine.
Happier.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, well, this was for bed, right? This was for bed time. Yeah, I plopped her ladybug toque on and she was fine. And she actually slept in. She slept in on Saturday morning. It was funny. She went to bed late, but whatever.
Well, sometimes that helps.
Yeah. But no, I mean, just, and then, yeah, like she was a bit miserable Saturday morning, but I mean, that's.
I don't think she was the only one.
No.
Thankfully.
But I mean, like for her, it was just a case of, she kind of just took it easy. I think she sat out the first activity, but just like really focused on getting warm.
Yes.
And then by the time the second activity rolled around, she was right there.
Yes. Well, I know she spent a little bit of time in my trailer when the heat was on, so as did a couple of the other beavers.
Yep.
And then, you know, we had that one family, Sunshine, brought their RV.
Yes.
Which was nice for the beavers, too.
Yep. I mean, like... You know, obviously, yeah, we had RVs at the Scout or at the Beaver Camp, those saved us in two respects. One, they were heck of a windbreak.
Oh, yeah.
And then two, you know, like they were warm shelters and the kids could go in there and we could just turn the heaters on and they could warm up and dry out a little bit and then come back out and they're back in action.
It was nice to see that many, many, many groups had RVs, tents, some sort of trailer, and a good combination of everything there. Lots of tents, or lots of groups were gung-ho, all tents all the way, which is awesome. That's great to see.
Well, and even the groups that brought RVs out were really trying to encourage the youth to be out in tents. I mean, that was certainly our approach.
Yep.
Like even before, I mean, we had the group trailer, obviously, with all the supplies in it. But even before anybody else showed up who had an RV of some kind, there we were. We just started laying out tents in a nice little grid around the trailer and kind of was like, okay, this is going to be where the tents are and this will be where the cooking area is going to be. And then as people showed up, we just built this half wall on two sides of the area that we'd staked out for ourselves.
It was perfect.
And I mean, that broke up the wind over the night. It just gave us a place to warm up the kids and that was good. I mean, like if you think about the other couple of camps we've done, like when we were at Pigeon Lake again, like, well, there we had the cabin.
Yep.
Right. And we had both sides of the cabin. So that was nice.
Guy's that was side, super nice.
You know, because I mean, Pigeon Lake is where the Tangle Trees Guide Camp is located. So for those of you listening who have no idea what we're on about, Pigeon Lake is another lake in Alberta. It's a little closer to Edmonton than Sylvan Lake is. And yeah, there is a guide camp on the lake. It's called Tangle Trees. But, you know, as scouts, we can, they're more than willing to rent the facility to us. They do have some additional rules regarding, like, you know, us being on site alongside guiding groups, but there was no guiding group camping that weekend, I don't think. they didn't have anybody planning to be out there. It was an empty weekend. And so we had this cabin, and like the cabin is actually designed to be split in two. There's a big partition wall that folds out.
Yeah, there was.
And so consequently, it has two of everything, two kitchens.
And like pretty stocked full kitchens with nice cooking equipment.
Mm-hmm. Says the trained chef.
Yes.
but yeah, two full kitchens, two full sets of washrooms and two bunk rooms. So for us, that worked out rather well because, you know, we could say, okay, that's the boys' bunk room. That's the girls' bunk room. Done.
Yeah. Boys' washroom, girls' washroom. Leader's washroom.
Right. Yes. And so, yeah, we were kind of spoiled that camp. We had a really nice place to run back into. But then again, still, you just get the kids outside and let them have fun in the snow, bring them back in, warm them up, do an indoor craft. Anyway, you go. Or then our spring camp, which was also at Camp Woods, we had one of the lodges and the two bunkhouses that attended it So we had a girls' bunkhouse, boys' bunkhouse. Could do crafts in the lodge. And it was cool the first day there.
It was.
But then the second day there, it really warmed up. The sun came out and it really started. Like, there's still some snow on the ground,
but it
really started getting
melty. It was super muddy.
Yeah. But that was they had a pretty good game of, what was that, capture the flag?
Yeah. So I had heard. I unfortunately had to run home.
Yeah, that's right. You had to deal with a family emergency.
Yes.
But
I ended up coming back, and that was fun.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, again, like, it was, given the conditions, it was nice to have the indoor sleeping areas, definitely. Like, I don't think I would have attempted tenting with them in that weather either.
No.
But, so, you know, I think my aversion to having a trailer at a scout camp is just more because, you know, I was also a scout and adventurer and a rover, and camping in the lap of luxury, in that way is just not something that I am accustomed to.
No, no,
but it does make sense for beavers. And I mean, that's another thing for groups, is just, you know, to remember that you do have 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, and they can do a lot, and you can challenge them in a lot of ways, but they do get cold faster.
Yes,
they do. They do get hungrier faster and more often.
Yes, they do.
They get thirstier faster and more often.
Yes, they do.
And again, to set them up for success, it's just really make sure that you're able to address those needs. They get colder faster. Make sure they have places to go where they can warm up and dry off.
Yes.
They get hungrier faster. Snacks, snacks, snacks. Oh my gosh.
I don't think we can stress that enough.
And I mean, again, the beaver, we took care of that ourselves. We had plenty of snacks.
Yes, we did.
Did you actually walk into Paley Hall?
No. Oh, I did once.
So Paley Hall is the main hall at Camp Woods. It's kind of roughly in the middle of the site. It's where the showers are.
Yes.
Full kitchen, flush toilets, all that good stuff. It was kind of the HQ for Beavery. They did have one event set up there, but it was also like kind of the HQ. So that's where all the organizers hung out. And if you went in there, there were snacks. Oh my gosh. Just snacks, snacks, and more snacks.
I think it was against the far wall from where you walked in, right?
It was kind of just, it was basically just against the kitchen. So you came in the door It was like right by where the kitchen would be.
Right.
And like they had fruit and they had granola bars and they had Rice Krispies.
Oh, yeah. Massive amounts of food.
Yeah. They were overstocked and then some for the people that had registered. And when some of the groups had to depart for home, they were just left with like just tons of food.
Apparently they had a couple of extra hot dogs.
Yeah, just a few. Just a few. I'm not saying when we walked in there to inquire about something that we walked out with a box of Rice Krispie Squares and granola bars, but we did. But
they had extra.
But the point is, like, you know, beavers get hungry more often and faster. And they had snacks, and a lot of the groups made sure they had snacks.
Yeah.
And water, you know, again, we brought out a lot of water. They had a huge city water tank on site.
Oh yeah, we brought a lot of water and still had to refill our waters. And that doesn't even include the cooking that we did.
Yep. But that's, I mean, again, that's kind of the point. It's just like, those will really set the kids up for success.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, 5-year-olds get grumpy when they get hungry. So make sure that they have a snack.
Big time.
They get grumpy when they get thirsty. So make sure they have a drink. Even when it's wet and rainy, make sure they have a drink.
Or if they're like my kids, they start to get really whiny. And they start
doing that can happen too.
Whiny thing where they're like, and you're like, all right, clearly you need to eat or drink something.
Yep. Maybe both. And if you can do those things repeatedly, the kids are going to have a great time.
Yeah.
They're not really going to remember that, oh yeah, it was kind of cold and wet. They're going to remember splashing in puddles.
Yep.
And having fun with their friends.
Yep.
And that was way more hot chocolate than I get at home.
Yeah. And I stayed up really late.
and all those good things. So, but anyways, yes, beavers should be given the opportunity to camp unaccompanied by their parents. That's a huge opportunity for them. And it's
yes.
actually a really great opportunity for the scout group as well to really see its youth shine and grow and lead in ways that they might not get a chance to do if they're just hanging out with mom or dad at camp for the weekend.
Absolutely. Well, and at the same time, as a parent, you will be impressed with what your child or children come home and tell you that they did, because you might think, there's no way my kid knows how to do that. And next thing you know, your kid has come home and done two nights in a tent with other youth of the appropriate gender. And you're like, wow, like really? My kid just did that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you never know. You never know what your kid is capable of until you let them have their wings and fly.
Yepers. All right. Well, I don't know. You got any shout outs?
I do have a shout out, actually.
I should get ready to take notes.
I know that you already have them on, but I do want to shout out to the Alberta Beaveree committee, because without them, Beaveree would not exist the way that it does. So that was awesome. And then I heard of a new listener to your podcast recently. Coincidentally, it was while we were driving to Sylvan Lake that she was listening to the podcast, and it happened to be the one that myself, Echo, and you had done a while ago. And that just drove her daughter crazy, because each of us was in front and or behind her.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So Rainbow, if you're listening to this again, shout out to you. And that's it for me.
Yeah, no, that was good. I mean, I had the Beaver Planning Committee down as well. They did a bang up job. I really hope to have them on the podcast in the near future here.
That would be awesome. The Ringtail is, he's a funny guy.
He's awesome. He really is. And, but just for, because like, oh my gosh. I mean, A, they took the Beaver concept and turned it on a whim.
Yes.
You know, like it literally went 1 year from being, you know, from the previous year being Saturday only, show up at the Petroleum Club and go home at dinner time, to being this two-night extravaganza at Camp Woods, full production number, you just adventure dialed up as high as possible for youth of that age.
Yes.
And, you know, just out of nowhere. And it's like, I remember trying to organize like Beaveree contingents and getting almost no response from like, you know, parents.
It's
at the end of May. It's kind of early June. Like there's other stuff going on.
It's hard to get there for one day.
And then like I hear about this new Beaveree and I'm just like, okay, well it's going to be the Saturday thing again. No, it's not. It's going to be Friday to Sunday. I got to get on this. I got to be part of this. And, you know, we took a little bit of a smaller group out last year. We took a bigger group out this year. I'm hoping we get, you know, kind of keep or able to grow awesome. It.
Well, and same with the Beaveree itself, smaller group last year. I think we had maybe 300 people in total.
Yeah.
And this year, possibly 640.
Yeah, just crazy numbers. And I mean, you know, and this year they really went like all, and I mean, it's unfortunate the weather kiboshed a lot of the plans, but like, you know, they had the Whitetails journey.
Yeah.
So like
that was
from
neat.
Friday to Saturday, they actually had a special, sort of camp within a camp for all the whitetail beavers to go off and have a little adventure of their own.
That was neat.
And so, I mean, I hope they continue that. I hope that they're able to kind of continue to grow the camp next year.
Yeah.
It's just, and I mean, I do my part because I kind of run some of the social media presence for the Beaveree.
You do.
So if you followed SSYSK podcast on Twitter, of course, you saw me probably tweeting a lot of photos from the camp. And if you follow the Alberta Beaveree on Facebook or scouting stuff on Facebook, I was cross-posting to a lot of those.
And didn't you do their website as well?
I did. And I have a challenge next year to try and build an online registration portal, but that'll be, I'll deal with that.
Good later. Luck.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, just the Beaver Replanting Committee, because, you know, not only did they really like, resurrect is the wrong term, because it's not like Beaver really died out, but like they blew it wide open. They made it into just this amazing weekend camping experience that our youth come away just raving about. And then, you know, when faced with some really truly inclement conditions, they just did wonders to continue to make the camp operate as smoothly as possible and be as fun as possible for everyone involved. So just, yeah, all around kudos.
Big time. Yeah. Yeah.
And as always, of course, a thank you to the folks at Scouting Radio for rebroadcasting our episodes worldwide to their scouting audience. Always got to give a shout out to the Justin and the team there.
Thank you, Justin.
Mm-hmm. If you're listening to us, by the way, on Scouting Radio right now, do let us know. You can reach out and get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. For example, you can leave us a review on iTunes. We really like getting iTunes reviews because, you know what, that actually helps enhance the podcast's visibility. If people go to the iTunes store looking for stuff about scouting, it makes it easier for them to find us. And if you want, if you want people to find us because you think that, anyways, if you think people should find us, leave us a review. There you go. It's that simple, really.
Absolutely.
If you want to get in touch with us directly, you can, of course, email us, scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, SSYSK Podcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/scoutingstuffpodcast. You can still leave us a voice message at scoutingstuffpodcast.com, which I recently actually changed the layout for. Made it a little bit better looking, I think.
Better looking. I haven't left you a voice message yet.
Mm. Well, that's okay, because, you know, like, you're sitting right here. So. Anyways, thank you, everyone, of course, for listening, as always. And until next time, be prepared.